Hello, everyone, and welcome in to episode 17 of That's What Bea Said. I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Clee, and I'm joined by my fellow ladies. Brittany Mollis is with us at Bird's Eye View. Hi, Britt.
Hello.
And Meredith Kane is also here at MCAN Sports. Hi, Mare.
Hello, ladies.
It's great to see your lovely faces again. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. I love Zoom.
I know. It's so good. We actually like get to see our reactions and... I mean, how good were those screenshots last week?
Oh my gosh.
If I knew that you were going to take screenshots, I probably would have put on makeup and done my hair. Like, I probably should have done that for Callie in the first place. But
listen, Callie did not judge us. It was unapologetically ourselves.
I knew she wasn't going to judge. So that's why I like didn't feel too bad. But then when you're like, oh, let's post it on Twitter, I was like, I look awful, but the screenshot's too funny. We have to do it.
You did not look awful. You did not look awful. Everyone looked great.
Yes.
We're so hard on ourselves. Let's be nice to ourselves.
I know. That's something I need to work on for sure, is being nicer to myself.
That is right. So we're going to get into quite a few things today. Obviously, we are approaching NFL free agency. Browns are out here making moves silently. Silent but deadly.
like a fart.
I was going to say.
You're welcome, Andrew Berry, for that.
I was going to say the real G is Andrew Berry because he moves in silence like lasagna.
There you
but
go.
I guess he's or he's a fart. I don't know.
Silent but deadly. So we're going to get into all the free agency chatter. We had some Cavs drama circulating on the Twitterverse over the weekend. And then a little bit of baseball, kind of. Not what you're thinking, probably. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to let you guys know we are 1 year. It's our 1 year anniversary of our show being quarantined. So we've lapped ourselves of doing an entire year. I say in quarantine, we were never together to begin with, but this was a time that we didn't even know if sports were going to happen. And we had a 6 month old, fresh, new podcast about sports. And I don't know if we thought we were really going to survive this, but here we are. So I wanted to reflect for a minute and just talk through like what last year was for all of us, because we know it was a struggle for a lot of people out there, ourselves included, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. So I wanted to just reflect on that monumental moment. We have survived. Yes. Brittany, I'll start with you.
So first things first, I can't believe that we were able to have a sports podcast during this time. We were able to maintain it on schedule every week, no matter what. We dug for things to talk about at times, but we never missed a beat. And kudos to us, because that's pretty awesome. And it's not easy to do. You know, we made the best out of a bad situation. And I was so proud of what we were able to do while sports was on a hiatus. Secondly, you know, if I could just get a little deeper for a second.
Of course.
I got to say, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, and everyone sort of had this camaraderie happening, yes. This mentality that we're all in this together. And I was very hopeful that maybe it took something to shake us like that, that would bring us back together in a way. Because a lot of times, you know, you find unity in tragedy. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
It did it for like a month.
I know. The exact opposite of that ended up, you know, the last couple of, I'd say like May 2020 until about, you know, January. I think we're starting to get along a little better now as human beings. I think we're finally starting to maybe come together a little bit, and that's nice to see. But guys, I'm just disappointed that we didn't keep that going longer. You know what I mean? That's out of the pandemic. That's the thing that I'm most disappointed in. We couldn't get it together at any point, guys.
I don't even think it lasted like a month. I think the thing that banded us together was celebrities doing really stupid things. Cause I'm reminded, to Twitter, like the two celebrity blunders that happened this time last year was Gal Gadot doing the Imagine video with a bunch of different celebrities. Yeah. And everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, the world is in upheaval. Everyone just got furloughed from their jobs. Nobody knows what the future holds. And you think singing a Beatles song is going to help. Okay. And then the other thing was Vanessa Hudgens getting on her Instagram Live being like, I guess people are going to die, but that's inevitable.
Yeah, but that's exactly how America treated it. Yeah. Like, oh, people die. What are you going to do?
I know. And then like people were like upset about that celebrity thing for like 2 weeks. And then of course everything fell apart. But Britt, I wanted to add on to what you said, because that was my exact thought today. I was thinking about us and everything that we've accomplished. And I was like, just thinking, we did a sports podcast every single week without sports. And there's a lot of podcasts out there and a lot of people who put out content like this, and they just took a break too. They're like, all right, no sports, so we're not going to do it either. Mm-hmm. But we did it. We did it anyway. I mean, and not every podcast was necessarily about sports, but we were still here putting out content consistently every single week. And I don't think people understand how difficult that is. Like, it's difficult even when we do have sports and everything is happening and everything is normal. But to do it in that situation is so much harder, and we did it. And I think we did a great job. And I cannot express how proud I am of us for sticking with everything, you know, and especially sticking with each other.
Yeah,
we weathered the storm.
We did.
It came out. I will also say too, I think people obviously that listen to us, you know, hear us, the content that we put out there, whether it's clips on Twitter, or they listen to the full show on a weekly basis. But like what they don't get to witness is us pre-show, just chatting about our days, us post-show chatting about our days. Mm-hmm. I think we've all had moments of crying on this podcast, yes. Whether it's before or after, just about life. Things happening outside of this podcast. And I think we've all talked about this before, but this is really a release and a lever for us to just escape for an hour, 2 hours, depending on how long we chat with each other offline, and just talk to each other. And then we all are in a group chat too with Angela and Jenna as well. And I will say, like, man, the two of you and the two of them, like, you guys have really kept me afloat this past year. Like, the ups and the downs, the TikToks, the laughs, the gifts, the inappropriate things that we talk about. I mean, it's just, I'm proud of us too.
Anytime Miles Garrett posts anything, we're in the group chat talking about
it. We're duplicating things a lot of times.
I know. I think it was just last week. I think three of us sent the same Miles Garrett post, like almost at the same time.
That yes. thing be thangin'.
We are all on the same page when it comes to that. But yeah, I think I get to be myself. I don't have to put on a show. We are ourselves on this show as well. So it's just something I appreciate in a year of just darkness and a lot of uncertainty. It's been nice to have this constant in my life.
I could not agree more.
And we would hope that, you know, you guys, the people who are listening, we hope that you enjoy it too. You know, and we appreciate you being along for the ride. 'Cause I know it's difficult to want to listen to something that's supposed to be sports content when there's no sports, you know, trying to find normalcy in a world where nothing is normal. So if you stuck with us, or if you just found us recently and you're along for the ride, like, we appreciate you. And anytime you share our podcast or download it, or, you know, send a review or even send us emails, like, we just appreciate every little thing.
Yes.
Yes,
we do.
Yes, well, I will end it with that. Before we get into Browns free agency discussions, I do have to give a shout out to Manscaped. They are continuing to support That's What Bea Said. And we are sponsored by Manscaped at Fansided here. And as you guys know, they are the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. They offer precision engineered tools for the family jewels, and they obsess over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. again, we have that exclusive offer that is continuing to our listeners. It's 20% off plus free shipping using the code FANSIDED20. Don't forget, you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code FANSIDED20 for 20% off your order and free shipping. You guys love these Manscaped ad reads, I will say. Like, we get so much good feedback about ad reads. A lot of people tend, like, when I listen to podcasts, I tend to just skip over live reads. But everyone likes our commentary, I guess, about ball sacks and what.
Oh, yeah.
High key, if you tried the Manscaped, let us know.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about your balls.
I want to know more about this. If you have tried the deodorant, I want to know. If you, the underwear, I guess they feel real silky and they're real great. So I highly suggest the underwear and the, would you say ball deodorant or testicle? Like, is there a word? Can I think say ball deodorant? That's what it is.
Yeah,
it is.
The for your undercarriage.
The gooch.
Your taint stick.
It smells pretty good.
Sorry,
guys.
You might need to edit that out.
You know, it's so funny, Brittany, because you know, with the sponsorship, we got the boxes and we shared them with our significant others. And it's like we laugh about it because I like say to my husband all the time, like I actually noticed he like had the razor, the lawnmower, like lawnmower, like might be my favorite tool just in general, because the fact number one, like it's a great name, the lawnmower, right?
And it looks like a little lawnmower with a little headlight on it.
It's so cute.
Yes.
And he had it like laying out on the counter and I was like, so like, are you good if like I talk about your experience, like with your grooming? And I'm just like, this is like my parents listen to the show, like his mom listens to the show, like this is starting to get very uncomfortable that our world is just out there.
I know,
but you know, I guess it is what it is.
There you go.
All right, guys, you ready to get into some Browns chatter?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, so everybody knows at this point legal tampering kicked off on Monday. Free agency officially starts tomorrow, Wednesday. That's today for all of you listeners out there. And a lot of fans assumed that Andrew Berry and company would go all in on a top-tier edge rusher. But one by one, those names that we had on our radar, Brittany, that you wrote an article about, they all seem to be going to other teams. Now, it seems pretty firm at this point in time that they're going to sign with these teams. Let's just go over them for a minute. Bud Dupree looks to be signing with the Titans, $16.5 million per year. Carl Lawson, my guy, devastated.
I know.
The Jets, Carl, what are you doing? $45 million contract, $30 million guaranteed. Trey Hendrickson, Bengals 4 years, $60 million. Like this, that whole thing was weird, right? Like you could have kept Carl Lawson, but we'll talk about that. Yannick Ngakoue, the Raiders 2 years, $26 million. So
that was my guy. I was team Ngakoue over here.
We'll get into the Browns signed today, but I wanted to just touch on those names for a moment because we spent some time last week talking about these defensive ends, pairing them opposite of Miles. Again, like all big names. They all got some big bucks behind them.
Yeah.
I was laughing as all of these signings were happening, or all of these, you know, confirmations were happening with the Browns Twitter, because it was like, as one name got signed, it was like, Carl Lawson's still available. Like, yeah, all in on Carl. And then it was like, he's going to sign with the Jets. And then it was like, let's go after Hendrickson. Yeah, like we got a chance. And I was like, one by one, they were getting picked off. And Browns fans were like, just going down the list of like, I'm like, guys, like, we don't want to be like a third option or a fourth. Like, what are we doing right now?
No, it was just the domino effect. You saw their their hopes and dreams just dying with every tweet. And then they're all just like, well, what are you going to do? But I think the only one that I noticed that people were mostly upset about was Carl Lawson. Number one, because, you know, I think that would have been a great fit, but also because he chose the Jets.
Yes, he's going after the money.
Yes.
Freaking.
So, you know, goodbye, Carl. Carl.
Dead.
Remember, what's his face? Todd Haley. Oh, Todd Haley. It's like, whose name's a baby Carl?
Oh, yeah. Baby Carl, Gucci Goo.
Exactly.
I think, was he also the one that gave us a nice job, you fucking kicker? Is that him?
Yeah.
That was such a gem.
Was that Greg Williams? No, that was Todd. That was Todd.
Yeah, he just so animated.
God, what a time. What a time for coaches in Cleveland. Todd Haley, Hugh Jackson, Greg Williams.
It was, I mean, that was the Hard Knocks era.
Ooh, boy.
Sometimes I want to go, I want to go back and watch that season of Hard Knocks.
Just we because, almost like, did that one night. I was like, well, we went out. It was right after one of the Browns, like, evening games, I think. And I was like, oh, we should watch Hard Knocks tonight when we get back. And then, of course, like, we were at a bar all day. So I just came home and passed out at, like, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
We had all intentions.
I was thinking about it, but I don't know if I can, like, handle. But here's the thing. I probably could because I'm, like, separated from the situation right now. But, like, I love drama when it doesn't involve me. Like, I get invested in other people's drama. So, like, and that's, like, what that season was for the Browns. It was other people's drama. So, I don't know. Yes. Maybe I'll go back and watch it. But I think people had very high expectations for Andrew Berry, rightly so, but I think they had them misplaced. Like, I think that they had this idea that because he's such a smart GM, like, every big name he was going to be able to get, like, oh, he was going to be able to get JJ Watt, he was going to be able to get Bud Dupree, he was going to be able to get Jadeveon Clowney if he's available, and, like, you know, all of this stuff, and we can talk about the signings that he did make, and I think that's just proof that he's not looking for the flashy names. He's looking for the difference makers. And while players like Carl Lawson would very much so make a difference on the defense, I think that Andrew Berry sees a lot of things that we don't, because that's his whole life is scouting. So high expectations, yes, but I think don't misplace them. Like, don't just assume that because Andrew Berry is smart and he knows what he's doing, it's going to mean that we get every flashy name coming to the Browns. Like, that's just not how it works.
Okay, so let's talk about who the Browns did agree to terms with, and that is defensive end Tack McKinley. 1 year, $4 million. I think we all probably assume that Andrew Berry might not be done at this position, but this is at least one first step here. So Andrew Berry, he's had him on his radar now for a few months. He was interested in him in November of 2020 after Tack was waived from the Falcons. He's a former first round pick. In his first three seasons in the NFL, he recorded 16 and a half sacks, 21 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, 38 quarterback hits. The wheels fell off really after that point in time because the Falcons declined his fifth year option. At that point, he requested a trade. He was unhappy. He lashed out on Twitter, making his frustration with the team known. He was eventually waived from the team, went on to fail 2 physicals with 2 other teams before he ended up landing with the Raiders. He ended up not playing a snap with them at all for the rest of the 2020 season. So I was reading about him, getting to know our new defensive end a little bit. And I was like laughing because I'm like, wow, like this track record, like young guy, I think he's 25 years old, 25 or 26, seems to have like just natural talent, a little bit of controversy when it comes to drama in the locker room. And pair that with all of our drama in the locker room with the Browns, or so that's what everyone else thinks. I was just thinking, like, you know, pair him with the old staff, the old coaching staff, the old Browns, and this is just a disaster waiting to happen. But now I'm thinking, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this too. This feels like just a Andrew Berry classic move. Andrew Berry has a plan. He's strategic. He's not erratic. I'm so happy that he is in control and not our fan base. As we just talked about, I feel like our fan base would spend literally all of their money on one guy. Like, they would literally pick one guy and be like, let's give him all of our money. And then, yes, that's it. But I like the fact that this feels very low risk, high reward. He has potential. He could have a very high ceiling, and he got him on the cheap. So I'm like, I was okay with this. I feel like the staff that we have in place today, he's going to be working with Myles Garrett, someone who has a great work ethic. Obviously had the one incident on the field, but like otherwise, like stand up guy. There's no drama in this locker room anymore. Even if people want to make up drama, it doesn't actually exist. So I actually think this is a place where he could come in and flourish just because he's going to be surrounding himself with the most level-headed coaching staff that's probably in the NFL.
Yeah, I have to agree with you here. Number one, I wrote this down, and I feel like just as far as like him on the field, when you're playing opposite Myles Garrett, he's going to sort of force this person to be the best version of themselves on the field, I think. Like, that just seems like something that would naturally happen when you're trying to prove yourself next to Myles Garrett. So on the field, I think he's going to be, you know, a nice fit. As far as all the character issues and stuff, which I didn't even know about until you were going down this long sheet of, you know, the Twitter drama, and I had no idea that this even existed. I did know that Andrew Berry was interested in him before. Right before we started the podcast, I saw a clip of him doing a presser. Did you guys see that?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, gosh. It was like, it was kind of painful because they kept asking him questions, and his only response was, "It's good. I'm good. This is good." That was it for 2 minutes. Just him saying, "Good, good, good, good." And I'm like, man, what is this guy doing? So now, like, it all makes sense. But like you said, this isn't the John Dorsey days.
Right.
Had this been, you know, John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens in charge of this guy, that could have been a complete disaster. And I would say, wow, this is not good. This is not going to end well. This guy clearly has some issues. They don't have control over anything.
Yes.
So that would have been a disaster. But I think now you're seeing a different culture, and, you know, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and the whole staff, if this guy, you know, breaks character, if he decides that he's, you know, bigger than the team, or he's not happy or whatever, I think that they are more than willing to hold him accountable to a certain standard. Like, you're on our team. This is a team first organization, you know, and if you don't like it, like, bye. I think that that's the Browns structure now, which, God bless. Thank God that's the Browns.
I am,
because it's just so refreshing to not have to worry about this stuff anymore. So you could bring someone like this in here and force him to fit in with you rather than trying to adjust yourself to fit in with the player.
I was going to say, can I pause you there for a moment before Meredith, you weigh in on this, but you mentioned, like, with the John Dorsey and the Freddie Kitchens staff, like, think about how many players John Dorsey tried to bring on this team that had issues or flaws that they just couldn't get right. Or like, things were just, even with guys that didn't have issues before, like, I mean, oh my gosh, I'm just like, it, I just had like a flashback. Remember? So, like, we know, like, Odell and Jarvis, Odell gets a bad rap just because of his name, his past experience with the Giants. But remember, like, those first few games, he wore, like, the watch, the visor issue, like, all the uniform issues that he had, him and Jarvis wearing, like, the clown shoes one game. I mean, there was just, like, multiple incidents, like, game after game. And then you had Antonio Callaway thrown into the mix there, who just, couldn't get his stuff together. Baker Mayfield would go to every press conference and, like, attack reporters. I mean, it was, like, guys that typically were in control were out of control. I mean, Baker Mayfield, he had an identity crisis in one game in post-game presser. I mean,
But you're right. Antonio Callaway is a perfect example of what happens when you have John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens in charge. You know, I think if it were different if you had Barry and Stefanski in that year.
Yeah.
And the Antonio Callaway story, that could have been a completely different ending there.
Yes.
Like, they could have got this guy and straightened him. Like, look at Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, things can happen if you have, and this is what I was trying to explain today. Somebody was like, yesterday I called the Browns fully functional and smart organization, which I 100% believe that that's true now. And they said, well, you know, that's kind of pushing it. Maybe just say they're competitive. And I was like, no, there's a difference between being fully functional and smart and just being competitive.
Yes.
Competitive is not built to last, really. If you look at, you know, teams that are built to last, it starts from laying a solid foundation. There's a psychology behind, you know, getting these players who by nature are probably, you know, like egomaniacs. They're professional athletes.
Yeah.
You have to have, you know, an ego to be that good. You just, it's natural. But there is a psychology to play into their strengths and sort of forcing them into this role where they respect people. And you saw what happens when there's a lack of respect. You see the Browns of 2018, 2019, like it was just complete chaos. It was a circus every week. So, you know, I feel good about, you know, what Andrew Berry did. I think that this is going to be a happy ending. We shall see, but I'm happy. Smiles.
I think the deal that Andrew Berry made is very significant. Like, I joke around, I've been calling these 1 year low dollar deals, I've been calling them since day one, the Andrew Berry specials, because that's exactly what they are. That's what they gave to Kareem Hunt. It was like 1 year, $1 million or something like that. And he was, you know, just probably the lowest paid running back in the league at that point. And to me, every time Andrew Berry gives a 1 year deal, he's essentially saying, prove to me that you're worth it. Kareem Hunt gets a 1 year deal and he's proven himself. And so yeah, the Browns will probably keep him as long as they possibly can. And as long as he's worth it.
I thought this you were deal with say, wait, Meredith, I thought you were going to say every time Andrew Berry signs a 1 year deal, an angel gets its wings. I thought you were going.
That's exactly what it is. So that's true. Like if a fairy is, you know, dying, you clap your hands to bring them back to life. And then Andrew Berry signs a 1 year deal and then they get their wings. But like, that's what Andrew Berry does. He like, for these players that he probably looks at and says, okay, I've wanted this guy because of his talent level, but because of his behavioral issues, because of, you know, the drama that he's caused, because of the way he has acted, you know, towards teammates and towards coaches and staff, he's saying, all right, you get 1 year. 1 year. And if he pulls that same thing with the Browns, if he doesn't perform, he's either going to get cut early or he's just not going to get another deal. And it's like, if you can't make it work here, you're not going to make it anywhere. Like, this is almost like it almost feels like a last chance for him. And I think Andrew Berry sees that and says, okay, I'm giving you one more chance. You get 1 year. And if you've proven yourself after 1 year, you get an extension.
Yeah. Like, here's the other thing that I like about this. You know, he obviously had some issues with how he dealt with the team and feeling like he deserved getting signed for that fifth year. And obviously that didn't come to fruition and he kind of just lashed out at them. So there's that. But I also feel like, you know, he could be playing with a chip on his shoulder. And I think, quite frankly, the Browns are going to have a lot of players playing with a chip on their shoulder. This is exactly how Baker Mayfield loves to operate. I mean, the quarterback that is running this team has a chip on his shoulder, and I don't think that's going to go away. Even though Baker Mayfield performed really well last year, that's just his mentality. OBJ is going to be coming off of an injury. He was subtweeting all day today and put Browns Twitter in a panic. Yes. But we know now that that was him really talking about coming off of his injury comeback season. You have Myles Garrett, who is coming off of a year that was plagued with COVID on the back half. So he didn't get to prove what he was in totality. The defense was just gutted with injuries last year. Grant Delpit didn't even get to play a snap because of his injury. I mean, this could be setting up the Browns for a very motivated team. And you're coming off of a pretty disappointing loss to the Chiefs, where you had a chance to actually win and go to the AFC championship. So I like this strategy of like, let's get guys in that are hungry, that want to compete. I also like the fact that, you know, Miles having another young guy to go to go against in a sense. Hopefully that motivates him a little bit. And vice versa, they can feed off of each other. And then one thing that like doesn't get talked about enough, do you remember last year? Curtis Weaver is a guy that I just totally forgot about that Andrew Berry snagged from the Dolphins when they put him on, they were going to place him on injured reserve for the season. And Andrew Berry went and scooped him up before they could do that. So that's another young player that obviously coming off of an injury in that defensive end room that these are some nice rotational guys that are younger. We released Adrian Claiborne, obviously last week. He was an older guy. Like he was great when he filled in, but these are guys that I think just have potential to be more than what an Adrian Claiborne offered. We could be surprised.
Look, I'm totally with you. Is Andrew Berry an ageist, guys?
You know what?
Oh, we're going to talk about that, Brittany. Yeah, it's like, no one's allowed to be 30.
Well, maybe I'm sitting here looking at my wrinkles and I'm like, oh, God.
I don't know. Maybe he's looking at this because Andrew Berry's only, what, like 34 or something like that? 33 or 34?
Yeah, he's a baby, too.
So he's probably saying, like, these guys can't be older than me. Like, I can't, like, how am I supposed to be the boss of guys who are older? Like, could you imagine, like, Andrew Berry being the boss of someone like Tom Brady, like this, you know, 44-year-old legend in the NFL. And then you got this little young pup coming out of an Ivy League school being like, hey guys.
We love it.
I love
Listen,
it.
Listen though, when you have a young core, you're building to, we're going to talk about this. So I'm not going to get
yeah,
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, hold that thought. Yeah. We'll go into the other big signing that the Browns came to terms with. And that was safety, John Johnson, III.
I'm obsessed with John Johnson.
For 3 years. There's like so much. What's that word called? It's not alliteration. It's John Johnson, III, for 3 years for $33.75 million. I was like, I can't like.
Oh, that's alliteration. Like,
that is alliteration.
Is that alliteration?
Yeah. Alliteration at its finest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, this literally could have been like written in a book with all this happening. It's like a Dr. Seuss novel that's happening. And he's getting $24 million guaranteed. Great upgrade here. This is what I think, like Andrew Berry, man, this is the whole side, like working in silence. Like we didn't hear a word from the Browns all weekend about anything that they were doing, which I love. I love the mystery. Just makes me feel so good.
The intrigue.
Yes. Just leaves you wanting more. Anyway, his PFF grade is fantastic. He had an 85.3 PFF grade. He ranked third. The Brown safeties, on the other hand, last year, they had the worst cumulative grade in the league last season at 48.2. We had a guy named Sendejo on the team.
So wait, we call him John John. That's what we've been calling him.
John John,
his PFF grade is almost double the Brown safety last year.
Listen, I am obsessed with John John. We're going to start calling him John John. I like that. I am obsessed with him. I have been looking at, like, after he got signed, that was who Andrew Berry went after on day one of legal tampering. So that was Monday. Every person that has covered John John, written about, interacted with, every single one of them had the exact same thing to say, which was, he is a leader. He likes to get involved in team meetings. He likes to help out on the field. He is a team player. He prioritizes winning, like just everything about his character. And it's funny because I heard the same thing from multiple people independently. And like, you didn't even need to bring up or ask a question. I was talking to someone who does cover the Rams earlier today, and the first thing she said when she picked up the phone was, oh my God, I love John Johnson. You guys got a great guy. And like, that's how she answered the phone. Literally, that's how she answered the phone. And I was just like, I was like, oh my God, I was so overwhelmed. So I just, like I said, every interview that I've listened to about him, every person that I have talked to about him, every single person has the exact same thing to say. And it is just everything good about him. And to me, that's also an Andrew Berry special, because how many times did we hear John Dorsey say men of moral character, and but he, you know, drafted someone like Tyreek Hill, and you know, he picked Kareem Hunt up off of waivers after he had assault, you know, situations happening, like allegations. So it's like, you know, John Dorsey would say men of moral character and then pick up people who were definitely not in that category. Andrew Berry doesn't say anything, signs this guy from Los Angeles, and everyone is just, oh my God, he's the greatest person ever. Like, I think that is such a huge indication of a true culture change.
And like the fact that his personality is like that, Meredith, you said all these glowing recommendations about, you know, people around the league and all the wonderful things they have to say about him as a person, mm-hmm. like the leadership roles, and you know, he wants to take an active role in like all of it. The fact that he chose the Browns when he had other suitors, that it was reported were going to give him more money, and he was like, no, he thought that his best bet, that the best fit for him personally, was with the Cleveland Browns. And let me tell you,
woo!
So that,
I'm glowing.
And he played on one of the best defenses in the league last year, mind you.
I know. So that helped my confidence with the Browns a lot, because one of the things that I was getting a little exhausted by was, you know, the Browns reportedly offered the most money to Jadeveon Clowney last year, and Clowney turned it down. They offered, I forget what the number was. Was it 15 for JJ Watt? I forget. But it was a significant amount of money. And obviously, you know, the Browns didn't have the highest bid and JJ went after the money, but like all of these big, huge name free agents, like the Browns were always connected with those names and they would wound up going elsewhere. And that bothered me because I was sitting there thinking, are you using the Browns as a bargaining chip? Are you using the most recent success as a way to get more money with Jadeveon Clowney? That was not the case because the Browns offered him the most money and he still didn't take it. So that was a little bit of a blow to the fan ego, you know, like, wait, you don't want to come. Why don't you want to come here? Why don't you want to live in Cleveland, you guys? So the fact that there was this guy out there that, you know, had such a high grading on the field, had such high recommendations off the field, said, I want to go to Cleveland. Like, that just restored my faith.
It chose enough- us.
Yeah. Choose me. Love
Choose
me.
Us.
Pick me.
Love me. Yeah, I totally agree with you. So I was actually in the office yesterday. So I was not really on Twitter all that much. So I kind of missed all the anticipation and hype, like leading up with what was going on in free agency. But of course, at the end of the night, I got on Reddit because that's what I do. I like to catch up to see like the conversations that are being talked about, get some information. And I just have to read this thread. You guys, it is so funny. First of all, the one that I saw that I laughed out loud at was when they announced the Johnny John signing, someone responded and said, I know nothing about this man, but I'm convinced he's the missing piece of our secondary. But honestly, it didn't take much to figure that out because, as we mentioned, the 48.2 grade, yes, anyone would have been a missing piece to our safety room. Okay, so here we go. Are you guys ready for this? It gets a little saucy. So if you've got children listening, I warn you.
Yeah, tell Danny to cover his ears.
Danny's probably in these boards. I got to figure out who he is.
We have to figure out what his Reddit burner is. I think I already told you guys what my Reddit burner was.
I hope I see a sup foo in here. I would die if there is sup foo. I got to start paying attention. Okay, so some guy, his name is actually his name. I won't say it. He's a strong safety, more coverage, not a box guy. He's smart as hell. To which someone responds, keep going, I'm almost there. Okay, here, he keeps going. He's standing behind you, rubbing your shoulders and whispering into your ear what he's going to do to Lamar next time he leaves the backfield. Moist. He's reaching around now, rubbing your nipples, whispering about how not even he is able to stop Baker Mayfield in practice. A true gentleman, he respects your wishes, stops caressing your nipples, and offers to pay for nipple reconstructive surgery. Someone else responds. He whispers in your ear, I'm not Zendejo.
Oh my God. Why is Reddit the best website on the
internet? Like, this is what I want Twitter to be. Okay. Like, this is what I want Twitter to be. But Twitter, we just get people fighting with us.
We read the Manscaped ad too early, I think. That would have been perfect placement.
Oh, anyway.
We might have to do, if anyone wants to sponsor it, maybe we might just have to do a Reddit segment every week where we just recreate Reddit threads from Brown's Reddit. So if you have a company and you want to sponsor us, we'll do a Reddit segment sponsored by your company.
That's right. That is right. Yeah. So Brown's Twitter, Brown's Reddit is very, very happy as well with this signing. And the more that, so there were Rams fans coming into this thread, like crying, essentially. Someone, a Rams fan was like, this is really bad for the Ramily, the family. But they all said that we got a really, really good, solid, smart football player that's going to make a huge difference in the defense.
And it's so great because, like, John's not a huge name in the NFL. Like, when you think of defensive players, your immediate thoughts are like J.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, you know, that kind of thing. And that's everyone's first thought. But, you know, John just kind of flies under the radar, just making plays and making a difference. And Andrew Berry noticed.
Did you Andrew see Berry that Steelers up. Fan that said something about he's the poor man Minka Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Oh, God. They're jealous. They're so. They had to blow all of their money on Rigatoni Roethlisberger. So, like,
they're noodle, just so mad. They're so salty.
Noodle arm Roethlisberger. We should do a Steelers Reddit segment.
Get on there. I have to get on their Reddit to see how they're all doing right now.
We should.
Obviously,
we should...
I mean, they lost Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
Juju, what's happening with him? Like, who's he going to, like, is he going to be a Steeler?
He basically already said bye. Like, hey, you know,
no matter what happens.
That tweet. Yes. Like, he's like, all right, my time here is probably done, which good. You know, I never liked Juju for the Steelers anyway, because I actually kind of liked before last season. I liked Juju as a person because, you know, he used to ride his bike everywhere. And
he's a
life
dog.
Yeah. Which I just thought was so charming. I was like, oh, this little kid. And, you know, last year was kind of turned into a little bit of an idiot. But yeah, like I want him to go somewhere else just so I could enjoy him a little bit more. Also, because I just want the Steelers to not have anyone good. Yes. I would love for them to just, you know, go totally defeated. And let me tell you, I think that next year they're going to be very lucky if they get to 500.
Well, here's the thing about the Steelers, like with the amount of money that they're paying Big Ben and losing some of their key players, they're going to have to tank. At some point, like the Steelers are going to have to go through a period of tanking. Obviously it's not going to be as long as the Browns was, but it might be like a 2-year tank for the Steelers. And I don't know if their fans can handle tanking seasons. I just don't think they can. Like, I think it was easier for the Browns for Browns fans to stomach the tanking seasons because the team had just been so bad for so long that it's like, you know, oh, we can't get any worse. Go 1-15. Oh, we can't get any worse. Go 0-16.
You know what, though? Like, I tweeted something about Sashi today. Well, I tweeted a few things about Sashi today. And fans, anytime you bring up his name to give him any credit at all for the because in my mind, I'm like, okay, this rebuild started years ago.
Yes.
You know, Sashi had to do what Sashi did so that John Dorsey could do what John Dorsey did. And now Andrew Berry could do what Andrew Berry's doing. Like, it all had to go in that direction. And, you know, hindsight is 2020, but it started with Sashi. And, you know, John Dorsey, as much as I give the guy crap, he did acquire talent. He was very good at acquiring talent. He had no idea, you know, he brought in Freddie Kitchens, who had no idea what to do with the talent. You know, he obviously, like, it was a circus. But, you know, all these things had to happen. These pieces had to be put into place in order for this to happen. So, you know, when we talk about, oh, well, the fans were... There is a faction of Browns fans who just passionately hate Sashi, like with every fight.
Yeah, poor guy. I don't think he's a bad general manager. I don't think he was in the right spot with the Browns. And you said all this pretty eloquently, Brittany, but he is great at accumulating assets.
Yeah.
He just didn't have the ability to evaluate talent to know what to do with those assets.
Yes.
Like John Dorsey knew how to scout. Like, he knew how to use those assets. That's a strength of John Dorsey. But John Dorsey can't run a successful football team. He there was too much. And then you've got Andrew Berry, who's a little bit of both. He's, although we actually don't really know how good he is at gathering assets because he hasn't been put in that position yet, but he has proven that he is good at scouting and evaluating talent. So he knows what to do with the assets that he has. And then on top of that, he knows how to control the room and to control the situation. So you guys know that that sound on TikTok that was like, this bitch walked, she strutted the runway so Peppa could run. Like, that's Brittany. I saw what you had tweeted about Sashi and Dorsey earlier today. And that was like, I spent too much time on TikTok because that was the first thing that walked in my head. I was like, this bitch strutted so Peppa could run.
It's true. All these things had to happen. It's like, you know, when everyone's like, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. This actually applies to Browns football.
Yeah,
everything
it really
had
does.
To happen exactly the way it happened for us to be exactly where we are right now.
There you go.
Look at
it's
that.
All in the plan. All in the
philosophy.
Plan.
The universe, guys.
It's the timeline. I don't think it is aliens for sure.
Obviously, everything's aliens.
Yeah. I just also, side note, I love the amount of love that we get on Twitter for talking about aliens.
Right?
Brie, you've got a lot of catching up to do. But
Bigfoot is
all you guys.
Worry.
I'm good with
and
it.
And then Mothman.
Ooh. Actually, I have a theory about Bigfoot, but we can't do that now. We have to do it on our conspiracy podcast.
Yes.
But back to the Browns. I'm completely convinced that this is the timeline that we're supposed to be on.
Yes.
Like, this is we are in the timeline where the dice rolled one.
There you
well,
go.
Well, let's talk about too the youth movement. Ooh, as Brittany calls it.
The youths. Youths. Did you say ute?
It's a ute. Youths.
I just quoted my cousin Vinny, and I don't think you guys picked up on it. It makes me so sad.
I've never seen that.
I haven't either.
Oh my God. That. And I've seen a lot of movies.
I've not seen a lot of movies.
I can't talk
about this right
I'm
now.
Done. I'm not doing this podcast anymore. I cannot do this podcast with people who have not seen my cousin Vinny.
I thought you were quoting Schmidt from New Girl.
No. No. Oh, I was quoting the judge from my cousin. Okay, that is your guys' homework assignment this week. Is to watch my cousin Vinny. Homework
Perhaps
assignment.
Perhaps I will.
No, you need to. It is Marissa Tomei in her prime.
I can't commit to anything. I don't watch anything. I suck.
So the youth movement, guys.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's dive into the youngins.
Andrew Berry may very well be an ageist because we've got some key foundational players at 26 or younger, which is wild at key positions. Just to list them off pretty quickly, you got Baker, Chubb, Hunt, Hooper, Conklin, Teller, Wills, Garrett, Ward, Harrison, and newly fresh Johnson. Mm. This is our future.
It's a lot of people. And then on top of that, if you look at this list, it's not just hey, here's a bunch of random names under 25. Like, these are difference
starters.
Makers.
They're starters. Oh,
yeah. Difference makers. Like, people who make plays on the field. People who make a statement at their position.
We're in win now mode, guys. Like, ooh, this, I'm sorry, it. But like this, like we are, with the signing of Johnson yesterday, I guess I didn't really quite understand the impact. But like the more I researched and read about him too, like I actually panicked less about the defensive end position because the way that I think Joe Woods will use him in the defense will actually allow more pressure, and it doesn't necessarily have to come from the defensive end. So I feel like last year and even 2 years ago with Freddie Kitchens and that defense, we relied so heavily on Myles Garrett. And I think that was our issue last year. It was like, it was all Myles, our safety, cornerbacks, linebacking core, like it was rough. And if we didn't get any pressure on the quarterback, like that was it. Like they were going to complete a pass or they were going to run and gain a first down or I mean, we couldn't make a stop. Like that was the issue all year. I actually feel like the way that Johnson will be utilized paired up with Delpit, we have Ronnie Harrison as a young core. And then once we figure out the cornerback situation, which hopefully we get Greedy back in a big way, I actually feel like we're almost there. Like, we don't have to rely heavily on Miles. It's going to take some pressure off of our defensive ends.
Well, health is also a factor too. I don't think there would have been anywhere near as much pressure on Miles if he and Vernon were able to be on the field at the same time. But it was always Vernon was injured when Miles was out there. And then, you know, Miles got COVID, so he was out for a few games, and then Vernon was out there. So it was just, there was a lot of pressure on Olivier Vernon when he was out there because Miles wasn't on the field. And then in the opposite, when Miles wasn't there, you know, everyone's freaking out, and there was so much pressure on Miles because, you know, Denzel Ward was injured and not on the field as much as he could have been. Olivier Vernon got injured. So I think the Browns defense would have looked completely different with Miles, Vernon, and Ward healthy all season. So I like what Andrew Berry is doing so far. I like the weapons that we have coming off the injured list, like getting Greedy back, getting Delpit back. I think that there is a lot of potential there, but I health is a huge factor. Like, these guys all have to be healthy at the same time, because what happens when you have one or two key guys on defense, if they're not there, then yeah, it all comes down to Miles. And offensive lines expect Miles. Like, I think that's why he didn't get as many sacks as he could have gotten last year, is because offensive linemen were expecting him. They were double, triple teaming him to make sure he got nowhere near the quarterback.
Yeah. I also think too that, you know, like, quarterbacks are and line are, they're very aware of where Miles is lined up too. So, you know, if quarterbacks are able to get the ball out quickly, Miles is not a factor.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to have to think twice throwing against a much better, much improved secondary. Right. Like, it's so, like, pairing that together gets me excited to see how they're going to put together this defense next year.
Are we ready for the Joe Woods revenge tour?
Yes. I hope so. That was my other thought, because last year, so many people were calling for Joe Woods's job. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, it is unfair to blame the defensive struggles on Joe Woods. They just, first off, the talent outside of Miles, Vernon, and Ward, who I mentioned earlier, outside of those three, the talent just wasn't there. Like, you can't give somebody Andrew Sendejo and expect them to have a great, that's like giving Picasso a broken number two pencil, like, and expecting him to create a masterpiece. Like, you just can't do that. So I always found the Fire Joe Woods movement ridiculous and just completely out of pocket. So I'm also looking, like, if I am looking at these signings, if I'm Joe Woods, I'm writing Andrew Berry a thank you card.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, thank you, A, for giving me what I need to make this team great, and B, thank you for potentially saving my job.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not sure if you guys saw it, and I'll have to share it, and I apologize, I didn't put this in the rundown, but Doug Lamorese did an article over the weekend, essentially looking at all of the NFL teams and saying, like, who has, like, a really good chance to make a run again, to go deep in the playoffs, as well as, like, obviously Super Bowl end goal. And what he did was he looked at every NFL team, and then he essentially kind of listed out, you know, what things are happening. So, like, starting with, like, the full 32 teams, if you have a new head coach, you are out of the running of, like, being a, like, true contender, like, you know, like, being a set in shoe for, like, true contenders. Like, that eliminated a certain number of teams. Then it was like, are you switching quarterbacks? Eliminated you from that running. Do you have a new offensive coordinator? That eliminated you from the running. Did you trade key weapons or key pieces that could impact you? And he kind of went down this list. And it was a really good article, very eye-opening. And the Browns made it very far down as being a team to obviously be able to make a run for it. And I think we have not been in this position for a very long time. We have retained our coaching staff. We have the same quarterback. We have the same offensive line intact. The defense is obviously flipping over, but that's actually going to be a positive considering what we're coming off of. So all of these things, like, put the Browns in a position to be a team to contend, which If you read that article, I think you'll feel very, very good about the Browns' position, even when you compare them to some teams that made it to the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. where I think the Browns actually hold an advantage over them just based on the consistency going into this season.
We love to see it.
Love to see it.
I'm so excited. And here's the thing. I think everything that Andrew Berry is doing right now is probably going to make the draft less exciting, but I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. Cause I forget who I heard it from. It was someone on Twitter that they heard from, like a former GM or something like that. But they were saying something to the effect of, you know, people who have great drafts had a bad free agency. So I'm excited about the draft because it's going to be in Cleveland, and I'm really excited to see how it looks in our city. But I'm also like, the Browns are picking at 26. We don't know what direction they want to go in yet, because we don't know what direction they need to go in at that point. And I've even heard some mock drafts talking about the Browns just completely trading out of the first round completely. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, that's such a good sign. Like, that's such a yeah. good sign when the Browns are sitting there like with only one pick in the first round, and it's late in the first round. And for mock draft experts to be looking at this and saying the Browns don't even need that pick.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I got myself excited.
Whoa, what's up?
I need to go to the Reddit.
I need to go to the Reddit board.
You guys, I'm going to have to create a different burner for Browns Reddit.
That's right. So before we move on really quickly, I wanted to get your guys' takes on, so obviously we still have positions of need, of course, especially when it comes to the defensive side, linebacker depth, cornerback depth, defensive end depth. Still, is there anyone that you guys have on your radar? Anything that you think Andrew Berry could do, or do you think that this will be a place where he targets the draft?
So after the whole defensive end thing, I'm done with expectations or like wasting my time thinking about this, because then Andrew Berry just pulls one out and he's like, this guy, this is our guy. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm now comfortable enough, and I trust him. Like, and somebody asked me this, like, what has he done to make you trust him? I was like, you know, some people you just come across in life where you would just be like, yeah, that's why I said about Andrew Berry. I'm like, this guy gets it. So whatever he decides to do, I will find 100 reasons to latch on to whoever he signs, whoever he drafts. Like, I just believe in this guy's system. So I have no expectations. I don't have any favorites anymore. I'm going into this just saying, yeah, I'm good.
Well, it's a gut feeling, which I think is very fair. Nobody has better gut feelings than women. So we'll put that out there. And then honestly, I think the biggest thing that people can look at to say, do you trust Andrew Berry, is just the Browns in 2020. That culture shift was huge. And yes, Kevin Stefanski was responsible for a lot of it, but that stuff starts at the top. Mm-hmm. You know, it started with Jimmy and Dee kind of giving Andrew Berry all of the autonomy that he needs to run the team the way he wants to run it. Mm-hmm. It's Andrew Berry establishing the way that he's running the team. It's Kevin Stefanski being his right-hand man and saying, yes, this is, I agree with it. It's, you know, Callie Brownson on top of that. Cause I just, you know, our interview with her last week was fantastic. And even prior to that, I heard nothing but good things about her just constantly. It's just the whole system from the top down to the players was a complete 180. And to me, that's the number one indication that you can trust Andrew Berry. Because any other GM, I don't know that they would have been able to do it. And I don't know that they would have been able to do it as quickly as he did. So, A, trust a woman's gut. And we all have good gut feelings about Andrew Berry. And B, just look at the Browns from this past year. Like, there were no, you know, there were no storylines of, you know, drama or, you know, this person did this, this person did that. There was none of that. Like, I mean, I know COVID had a lot to do with it, but we didn't hear anything bad about the Browns off the field at all. And how many times did you see hit pieces from national writers out on the Browns every single week? Yeah. None of that this year. So I don't know how you can look at that and then question whether or not Andrew Barry has complete control. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I feel good. All right. Okay. So a couple of small things to cover and we will get out of here. So with the Cavs,
drama.
This is so funny.
I got excited.
Colin Sexton liked a tweet about Kevin Love that said that Kevin Love stole $120 million from the Cavs, calling it the heist of the century. He has now since unliked the tweet, but obviously, like, people notice these things.
Of course they do. Yeah.
We have nothing better to do than obsess over athletes on social media.
So true.
Here's the thing. Like, you can be the most perfect version of yourself on social media, or at least you think. But always remember that on Instagram and on Twitter, what you like is public.
Yeah.
So if you sit there and you're having the perfect tweets and the perfect retweets and the perfect responses and you're, you know, the model citizen on social media, but your likes are all porn accounts, we're going to notice.
Yeah. Thank goodness TikTok isn't that way.
Yet. Yet. Oh my God. My TikTok, if my likes were public, it would all be Marvel musical theater and recipes. Like, I'm really not embarrassed by my TikTok likes at all. So if they want to publicize those, sure. Like, if you want to see like 18 different versions of waving through a window from Dear Evan Hansen, just go through my TikTok likes.
Oh man. So
thing.
Yeah, I like Brittany, obviously you're a huge Colin Sexton stan. Like, he's your son. Yeah. Were 100%. You disappointed in your son?
Hell no. He was 100% right. This guy has stolen so much from the Cavs.
I know.
He took all this money and he's played, like, how many games has he played in the past like 2 years?
How much money has he made per game?
I can't
that he's
even,
played.
I imagine how frustrating that would be as a teammate. Like, I get it. Like, yeah. You are day in and day out, you're giving it your all. You know, Colin Sexton, he's very underappreciated, not, especially in Cavs fan base. There's a lot of very passionate Colin Sexton haters, which, whatever, that's weird. But, you know, he has to be side by side with this guy who's making, I don't even know how much more than him or really anyone else. And he's just never there. He's living his best life. You know, you watch all of his Instagram, like, he's always hanging out in the off season in all these beautiful places with his gorgeous model fiance. And like, he's living a great life off the Cavs, you know, bill. And he just never plays basketball. So yeah, I get it. And he's not wrong.
Kevin Love went from last December to last week, went 33 games without playing.
Oh my God.
And in a shortened season, that's a lot. That's almost half the season.
That's inexcusable.
So
if you're that hurt, just retire, dude. Be done with it.
Wow. Brittany's holding no punches.
I'm done. Everyone's like, oh, well, he was there 2016. Cool. This is 2021,
so
is guys.
So, you know who else was there? Matthew Dellavedova. He was also there in 2016.
I don't care about anyone in 2016. This is 2021. I care about the players now. I don't really care about Kevin Love that much. Just I'm being honest.
Well, the hard part was,
I'm kind of the same way. Like, Kevin Love was my least favorite of the big three.
Yeah.
The hard part with Love is that I'm sure the Cavs wanted to get rid of him long before, but his contract was just so big no other team.
Yeah, but they did that. Yeah,
I know.
I know.
The
no.
day he signed it, he showed up in that hard hat. Oh, and he's like,
my
oh,
gosh.
Yeah, Cleveland, I get you. Yeah, idiot. Now you just took all the money and never played again.
Yeah, I mean,
smartest
that's what
move.
It was.
Smartest human. It's like, I mean, honestly, like, great business move on his part.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Cavs give him this, like, gargantuan contract, and it's not good because now he's not playing, and no other team wants to pick up that contract, especially for something that's not playing. Like, hey, do you want to, like, buy this $1,000 8K TV? It doesn't turn on, but it's really pretty. Like,
well, I think what had happened was Dan Gilbert, like, when the contract was done, I think that was his way of sort of trying to bring the fans back in.
Yeah.
You know, because after LeBron left, it was tough. And this was sort of like a PR thing, a very expensive PR move. and they expected him to play enough to keep the fans interested. And Kevin Love got his money, and he's like, screw you guys. I'll put on this hard hat and sign this piece of paper, and I'm going to go live my best life with this beautiful girl.
And not play basketball.
That's it.
I think that Kevin Love would do well as an advocate. I mean, he's already doing this in a way, but he would probably do well to retire from basketball and just be full-time advocate for mental health.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's where Kevin Love is best served, because he's getting to the point where, you know, if he's out this long for a calf strain, you know, how is he going to bounce back from that? And if he bounces back, you know, how good will he be? There's just too many questions around his abilities on the court. I think he has done so many great things for Cleveland. You know, I love and respect him as a human and as a player, and I'm happy for what he did for this town. But yeah, I mean, if like I would love to see him do something with like mental health advocacy, because he's the type of person that people will listen to when he talks, and he has the potential to do so much for mental health issues. Like he really does.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, maybe Colin Sexton should not have liked that tweet, even if he feels that it was right in his heart, and Brittany obviously agrees, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, be careful about what you do on social media, because none of it is hidden at all. But
yeah, it's funny, he likes tweets like that, but like he hasn't liked like an Instagram model's tweet. Like that's like what's so funny to me. It's like out of all the things that you could like, it's about your own teammate.
I just think Colin Sexton, I think the only thing he cares about is basketball. I'm just absolutely convinced. I think
that's really true. Like that's his entire life. That's his entire being. It's just
I'm just absolutely convinced that he cares. This is just what I think. I think there are three things that Colin Sexton cares about in no particular order, which is basketball, his family, and the University of Alabama. That's it.
When did he get those like chiseled muscle arms though? I was watching. I was watching, it was like a month or so ago, and it was the post game. He was in the interview and he was standing there with his hands on his hips, you know, and the camera was at his, you know, like torso and up. And I was like, I looked at my husband and I was like, I just don't understand how like his arms are cut like that. Like, he's not even flexing. It's just like, they're just like perfectly sculpted. Like
he finally hit puberty.
Like that.
He finally hit puberty.
He was like, all basketball players look like that. I was like, that is not true. Kevin Love has flabby arms.
I mean, remember when Kevin Love was with the Timberwolves?
Oh, yeah.
He was chubby. He was chunky. Yeah. He had a dad bod. He was like, that was fat Kevin Love, man.
Yeah, like, Kevin, I mean, Colin has definitely like bulked up. He's no longer
very seriously.
He really did. I was just very impressed. I'm like, I just, you know, like I've seen muscular people, but he's like skinny muscular, you know, they're skinny fat. He's skinny muscular. It's weird. I can't describe it.
He was probably doing Pilates. That would be my guess. Like yoga and Pilates. That's a secret. I don't know that for a fact. That's just my conjecture.
I'm going to have a Brittany moment now. Brittany, I texted you over the weekend because I had multiple Brittany moments. Like this is another one. I'm just like, I just started thinking about Myles Garrett and like, how do they like get that muscular and how like what do they eat in a day to be able to look like what do they do? Like I just like don't understand the comp. Like could I look like that? What would I have to do to look like that? I mean, yes, I guess I could. I can't. I gotta turn this off.
Like I know.
It's just wild that the body can look like that.
Listen, when they showed that video of him doing that, I showed my mom and I'm like, Mom, this guy is almost 300 pounds doing this. Like how does a human being do this at that size?
Yeah. And like male gymnasts are really, really cut and they're actually really bulky because a lot of the events that they have to do are very heavily concentrated. Yeah. It's like the rings, the pommel horse, the parallel bars, like
size.
Yeah.
Short typically.
I don't know how tall they are, but yeah, like they've got to be agile and somehow Myles Garrett manages to be one of the largest human beings on the face of the planet and has the agility of like a skinny dude, half his height and half his size.
Yeah, I don't. It blows my mind.
I just science. Can I be blessed with genes like that? My goodness.
Same.
Also, please. The willpower. It's like a nut. Like it's like a struggle. I'm like, I'm gonna be great today, and I start out eating like really well, and then like dinner time comes, and I'm like, I'm gonna eat all of my kids' leftover chicken nuggets.
Yeah, you get the dino nuggies. And then you're like, oh, little dude has some mac and cheese left on his plate. Not anymore.
100%. I was like, this is like the death of me. Like being a mother has turned me into like the worst eater ever because I just pick at my kids' leftovers. And also all they eat are macaroni and cheese, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, sometimes a salad. You know, we try to throw in some greens.
There you go.
Okay, we will wrap up with this. You guys got to fill me in on this. I saw it come through on my notifications, but LeBron James is part owner of the Red Sox. What is happening?
I'm so pissed. Like, honestly, I am so pissed.
We thought he was going to own the Indians, remember?
I know. But look at me right now.
So the problem is I actually had to like research this because I was so confused by it. But I mean, well, the Indians are currently not for sale. And also, side note, my favorite thing about the like galaxy brain fans who defend the Dolans are like, this team is worth $3 billion. I was like, it's only worth that until you sell it. Like, you can't, like, it's like owning a trading card. Like, oh, I've got this Tom Brady rookie trading card, it's worth $1.5 million. Well, you don't have the $1.5 million until someone gives it to you, so whatever. But anyway, with this LeBron James thing, I had to look it up because I was so confused by it. So it's a holdings group, Fenway Sports Group. So they own like a whole bunch of different teams, and so LeBron James invested in it. And so I guess he already owned 2% of Liverpool, which is an English Premier soccer league or soccer team. And Fenway Sports Group, I believe, is what, like, I believe Liverpool is one of the teams that they own. So if I got it correct, and I please don't quote me on this because I'm so confused by it, but it looks like LeBron James just invested into this Fenway Sports Group. And because Fenway Sports Group owns the Red Sox, he is now a part owner of the Red Sox. So I think that's how it happened.
Okay, this number one, that it's Boston. Have you guys ever met Red Sox fans?
They're the worst.
They are like the Steelers fans of baseball.
Yes.
Boston fans are toxic. Like, yes. If you want, like, I hate that I'm saying this, but I would almost take a Pittsburgh fan of any sport 10 out of 10 times over I would take a Boston fan.
Slow down.
It's close, but I
Boston sports fans are so,
they are terrible.
Toxic. They are terrifyingly toxic. Like, I can't count how many Black hockey players have talked about the racial slurs that they were called when they went to play in Boston. Like, and it's just, and their fans are crazy. It's just, I can't, like, I cannot get on board with Boston fans. So I think the only reason that it's the Red Sox that LeBron got onto is because that's the only thing that was available. Because in order to buy a team, like, first off, a team has to be up for sale. And then I think there needs to be like a league vote and commissioner approval. Like, there is a process to purchasing a sports team. So it's not that he actually purchased the team, it's just that he bought into this investment group. So, you know, if the Indians were part of an investment group, I'm sure he would have purchased them. But, like, I have a feeling, you know, once LeBron James retires, he's probably going to want to buy a team outright.
Then buy the Indians, please. That's all I want in life is for LeBron. I always have this idea that LeBron is like our Superman and he's just going to come save us from everything.
Yes.
Like, he's going to come back to save us. And I'm praying that he buys the Indians one day.
What if he buys the Akron Rubber Ducks? He goes, yeah, I'm going to buy my hometown team. And then it's the Rubber Ducks.
That's fine.
I mean, like, the Dolans have to sell it first. And at this point, it does not look like they have any plans to sell that team anytime soon.
I can't even think about it. I will get enraged.
I know. I just find it so funny that people are calling for the Dolans to sell. And I mean, yeah, I get that sentiment. But, you know, if you have a valuable asset and if it's something that you've wanted to own for your entire life, like, no, you're not just going to sell it because everyone is telling you to.
Sell it because you don't care about it. Sell it because the fans deserve more than what you're willing to put forth.
Yes, I mean, I do agree. Just, yeah. I do agree. Indians fans deserve more than what they're getting, for yes. sure, 100%.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Should we wrap it up at that, you guys?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Sure. If you want to, I mean, I guess if you want to get into EPL and you want to support LeBron James, go cheer for, I mean, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but sure. Go cheer for Liverpool. LeBron James is a 2% owner.
LeBron James has a hand LeBron. In everything. LeBron Space Jam's James. Coming out this July.
Oh my God, I'm
that.
So excited. I am so excited. Did Me you guys too. See the plot of it? Like, it actually looks really good.
It's going to be amazing. My kids love Space Jam, so we are excited.
Good. You're raising them right, Bree.
Right. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening tonight. We went long again, had a lot of things to cover. We'll be back next week breaking down, hopefully, more Andrew Berry moves. Got a full week left of that. And don't forget to send us some ratings. We love hearing from you guys. You can listen to us on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. We love to hear from you. Tweet at us. Let us know what you want to hear from us, what topics you want us to cover. We are open ears for these next few months. Again, thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next week.